When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What it is, just welcome to another adventure of Tyrus and Tim. I'm, of course, Tyrus, and my co-captain, the Tim.
Hello. Hello.
So, Kat, before we even discuss the debate that was so shockingly polite last night.
We have
similar things going on in the world of parenting. You technically don't have children, but you have pets and you are a devoted pet owner. So
very, some,
in some cases, that. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, some people say, freakishly, but you know, those people are on our podcast, so they can take two steps back and go meow themselves, because we don't negotiate a terrorist.
True.
So on Tyrus and Tim. So I am on the other end where I have my first school report project.
Oh, wow.
And I've already taken it to the next level. Granted, she is six, but we're preparing this like she's addressing the nation.
Oh, yeah.
And our subject matter is the wombat, because my daughter's a smart
meow.
So
yes.
When the teacher said pick an animal, Georgie, and then people, you know, they're picking the classics, rabbits, dogs, horses, gets to Georgie, and she's like, wombat.
I don't even think I knew what a wombat was when I was six. In fact, I'm not sure I know what it is now.
Turns out Georgie wasn't sure either. So she thought it was a type of bat. So when, and of course, I was a zoologist minor and an animal nut, so I know wombats very well. Past species and present. So, you know, I was hyped. I was like, oh man. So I, you know, and she has to make a poster board, and we have to like put things on a poster board. And then she's got to give a speech on the wombat, which this is like tailor made for me. So I went, you know, and started printing off information, and I've got, you know, pages and pages of wombat history. And I'm talking about the diet and, you know, going through, breaking it down for, you know, where the species comes from and the marsupials. And, you know, and then she's like, well, what's this? And I'm like, oh, they poop in cubes. And she's laughing hysterically. She's like,
they poop in cubes?
They poop in perfect squares. So that was the basis of her thing. Like, oh my God, can we, that's all she wants to talk about. And I'm like,
well,
no,
I'm on her side. That's all I want to talk about. Are there buttholes parallelograms?
Yeah, haven't been that. I think it has something to do with the fact that their pouch is backwards. So every kangaroos, the baby climbs in the front door.
I guess I don't know what a wombat is.
Yeah. Well, they're cousins to the koala bear and the kangaroo, but they basically are a cross between a teddy bear, a small dog, and a gopher. And if some people will say a pig, I have my old packet. I came home with a packet like I just got back from the FBI. And I think I'm going too hard in the paint as far as like.
They look like little puff pillows.
Yeah.
They're little pillows with faces, and they got, are their buttholes square? Because how do they poop in cubes if their buttholes are not square?
I think it has something to do with the pouch.
And it also takes them, I'm looking right now, it takes 8 to 14 days to complete digestion. So maybe that has something to do with it.
And they can only have, well, they eat grass too. So I think they're basically little hay balers. And it takes them 2 years to have a baby. So, and they only have one. So that's why there's not that many of them left. But I made coloring book printouts so she could hand out a printout to all her, you know, I had it all so she could hand out print coloring book printouts to all her classmates so they could color their own wombat. Like, I'm taking this to the next level. So I couldn't wait to see her. And I was like, I got the envelope. I got the stuff. Let's break it down. And she's literally like, Dad, it's not due till Monday.
All right.
So can we do this like tomorrow? Because I really just want to play Lego on Xbox with you.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, but I'm ready to do the report. And she's like, yeah, but it's not due till Monday. It's Wednesday. So can we play the video game? Because I really want to just find dinosaurs today. I don't really want to deal with things that poop cubes. That's disgusting.
And no, I'm they like, poop
you're
cubes.
Only...
One of the things that auto populates is wombat square anus. And so I found an answer. I found a live science article. Scientists finally know. I love the word finally there.
Yeah.
Finally know how wombat butts make cube-shaped poops. Okay, and this is the article. How talented is your anus? probably not as talented as a wombat's. At least they said probably.
I feel like this is sending the wrong message to some of the worst people in the world.
That cuddly Australian marsupial's rear end has a mysterious and magical ability to make cubes.
Stephen's drinking whiskey right now because of this.
Cubed wombat poop is one of the wonders of the animal kingdom. There's a reason poops are usually spheres or tapered cylinders. Try squeezing a cube out of a tube of a toothpaste. Round shoots and round holes are likely to produce round things. Okay, here we go. This part's highlighted. Feces travel through most of the wombat intestine as liquid slurry, but they dry up into a solid for the last 8% of the journey. And that's when the cubic magic happens. By entering the intestine and inflating it with a long balloon, we found that the local strain varies from 20% at the cube's corners to 70% at its edges. Oh, in other words, the intestine is more elastic in some places than others. So it pushes down on the contents harder in some places than in others, creating the little blocks.
Again, this is sending the wrong message to the wrong people. There's some, you know, there's a reason why the little things hide back first in the holes, apparently.
It says wombats go through all this effort for a reason. They don't see or hear very well. Aww. So they stack their poops in important places to guide themselves around and to signal their presence to other wombats. A big pile of cubic poops is the wombat equivalent of a, quote, hello there. I like these guys.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm really worried about wombats. They can't hear good. They can't see, and
their
they have a magic butt.
Hope is their square poops.
Their only hope is there's witnesses around. That's their only hope. Like,
evolution is crazy. These animals around, they haven't evolved to reproduce quickly. They haven't evolved to see or hear well. The square poops, though, they poop the square poops.
But that's not really their fault. They weren't supposed to get this far. See, because when Australia broke off from Pangaea, that particular population of marsupials were cut off from placenta mammals like us, you know, that have babies faster and quicker. Marsupials take a long time, and their babies are basically embryos living in a pouch. So their stuff's a lot smaller and slower, and they're slower, and they didn't have like predators that were, there was a few, but not anything like dealing with cats, which run rampant in Australia. So the wombats, and there was actually giant wombats the size of rhinoceroses who lived in herds. So, and relatively not too many. Yeah, it was probably giant cubes. Although, you know what? They lived on the surface and herds, so they probably saw better. So they probably didn't need the need for cubes. But I'm not a scientist, and I really wouldn't want to study that. I think I would probably just say, yeah, it's cube. So what? No, seriously, we got to figure out why. I don't think we do. I think we're good with...
I think I found the best two sentences in any piece of journalism ever. The best lead into any story. How talented is your anus? Probably not as talented as a wombat's. I want to get that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, and I think that for the wrong certain sect of the human population is a horrible message. And
well, if you guys... Look, Tyrus, if you want to go above and beyond here, Catherine just sent me something where on Etsy, you can get wombat poop plush, one square wombat poop plushie. So it's a stuffed plush wombat poop. So if you wanted to spend the money. You could get
stack them up.
Not for $9 each, you could get, yeah.
Yeah, I, you know, I'm going to have to respectfully say, hell no. I think the coloring, book picture is enough. She can talk about it quickly. Again, this is other children, and I will not have any talk of magic anuses around six-year-olds. I just not going to do it. As a parent, I just, even though it's honest journalism, I think that's a rated PG-13 right there, possibly R, but definitely not rated G. And I don't think, which changes emojis, you know, because now we'll have to design emoji for wombat poop, because it's when you want to say hi, but instead of calling somebody a piece of like the other one, you can literally be friendly. It's more of like a, hey. you're still a piece of but okay. You're likable. You know, it's like we still think ill of you, but not as much as like, you're not villainous. You're just really annoying, but we still like you. So, you know, there's that. That's a first on the Tyrus and Tim show, where we're designing a more friendlier emoji that, you know, is a square wombat pooping in.
Yeah, or it can replace the wave emoji if it means hello there.
Yeah. Boop, yeah, it's like, hey.
Cubes. So, you know, your boss, how you doing? Send him the poop cubes. That's saying hello.
Yeah, you know, Jason would literally get a lot of cubes. Was that an accident? Who did?
Cameron.
Oh, I thought it was Carl.
No.
Well, I guess that's worse.
Yeah.
Gonna watch that stuff. I mean, you've been stuck in this apartment for a while. You should have memorized where the chairs are at.
You should have.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes without saying. But on the other side of it, while I'm overdoing the speech part and all that kind of stuff, you are basically, Cheems is not feeling well.
Right.
And so you are basically on the clock 24/7 taking care of him.
Yeah. So he, you know, has a three chronic illnesses. He has a heart disease, he has kidney disease, and he has inflammatory bowel disease. He's stable on all those things right now. However, he was getting a little fat and he was at risk for diabetes. And with the combination of all those illnesses, he gets diabetes, it's game over. So I now have to weigh him every day and count out individual pellets of food in accordance to like what the weight is and constantly be monitoring. Right now he gets 11 meals of 30 pellets and I have to track it all and track the weight. He
11 a day or a week?
A day, 11 meals, but the nuggets are really small.
Right.
So it doesn't even like add up to it like a cup of food. He's eating very little. And then because at first it was only like 30 nuggets three times a day because it was like crash diet, but then he was losing too fast. So it's constant, you know, like I'm constantly on the phone with the vet. I'm weighing him. I'm counting out nuggets. Cam thinks I'm insane, but, you know, I love Sheens with my whole heart and soul. And when he does die, I am, you know, some people are like, I love cats. I post a lot of cat memes. But me, it's like when my cat dies, I am going to end up in a rehab facility because I'm going to be.
Well, we'll definitely have a 2-hour special to celebrate the life of Jeans on Tyrus and Tim podcast. And it'll be the full 2 hours. It's going the distance.
Yeah.
And we'll have lots of sound bites. Yeah. We can do a virtual funeral. There'll be lots of Jeans sound bites. I mean, Jeans has been a regular on the show. I've actually been concerned because he hasn't been on lately because apparently he's been battling illnesses, and I'm sure he's also concerned with the current political climate. The polling numbers haven't been great for his close
personal friend.
Yeah, for his guy. You know, and I think Cheems isn't going anywhere because I think he vowed that he's not leaving this earth until that wall is built. So
that's true. And he is feeling better. So he's not feeling sick anymore, but it just requires, I also have to give him heart medicine every day. Like it requires constant care, which I'm okay with. I told Cam, I will drain my savings to put him on a ventilator if he can live one more year. And he says, no, you won't. And I said, yeah, I will.
Has Cam seen The Office?
What?
Because if you watch The Office, Angela and Dwight was put in charge of watching her sick cat, and he put it in the freezer to put it out of its misery, and she left him, like, for at least 3 seasons, which is a lifetime in TV, but literally she could not get past it. And those two were literally written for each other, the most extreme of people. But the death, the putting her cat out of her misery, so to speak. And then he did the worst thing. He tried to replace her with a street cat.
No. I got mad at Cam yesterday because he tried to feed Sheens. And I said, how many nuggets did you give him? He said, I don't know. I said, you don't know?
Yeah.
You don't know how many nuggets? You got to track the nuggets.
If he's not invested in the meal prep, then he should.
And he also has this fountain that, like, it, like, because his kidneys, whatever, so he has to stay hydrated, but he, to motivate him to drink the moving water of the fountain. But the thing is, a pain in the ass, you gotta take it apart and clean it every day. Again, yeah. I would go to the ends of the earth for cheats. And Cam was like, I can't even get you to unload the dishwasher. I'm like, I'm sorry. Are you cheats?
Dishwasher isn't sick.
Do you
and dying.
Look like cheats?
Yeah.
Because I don't think you're cheats. If
what
I needed to unload the dishwasher for cheats, then I would. But I
was going to say, yeah, he needs to submit his demands to the vet and say, these are what cheats needs.
Yes.
He needs the dishwasher unloaded because he finds the fullness of it. It gives him anxiety.
Yep.
So, you know, and then you would be like, oh, there wouldn't be a spoon settling in that dishwasher. You know, you got to put your list of demands, you know, maybe slide the vet a dub, you know, a little something for his trouble. So you can put on the paper saying that, you know, Cheems really likes a tidy house. That's really, you know, what Cheems likes. And Cheems loves watching the NBA finals. And Cheems really enjoys a good football game on the weekends, preferably with nachos, but not if Cam makes them. Like, you gotta be pretty, you know, because you can maybe with certain people who are so love struck with their animal that they buy it.
Yeah.
Not saying that I would do that, but if I was, it would be thorough. And I would make sure that all my needs were met through the cat in terms of things I want done around the house. For the betterment of cheese. I mean, it's the American way.
Yes.
And speaking of the American way, so how about that debate last night?
I mean, here's what I think. There was a question asked, right? There'll be a question. And then it would be somebody, either person would not, instead of answering it, they'd be like, in 1864. Or like, well, he was asked about abortion and he started talking about what? Like,
Pence wasn't answering anything because he can't.
Neither was Kamala, like, though, either.
Pence was writing notes on his paper. Like, Kamala didn't answer the one about, you know, they got to load the Supreme Court. And she kind of danced around, like, she said me and Joe talked about it, but she didn't say.
Even the first
question
was, what would you and Biden, like, do about the COVID-19? Like, what's your plan? And she went on for 2 minutes saying all the things Trump did wrong, which, like, fine. Yeah. Like, lots of mistakes all over the place. However, what would you do? Like, we still don't know what you would do. And that's why the two parties.
She said a mandate. Didn't she say a mandate? Didn't she say a mass mandate?
No, not really.
Yeah.
She just kind of
said that.
In the first question, it was just like, maybe at some point she did, but in the first question, at least.
I feel like Pence from jump was like, if how long I can introduce myself and thank someone for the bulk of my questions. That way I don't really have to get into answering because I don't want to be contradicted by the boss in the morning, which kind of would end up happening anyways. I feel like Pence is probably one of the best debaters on the planet. I think that's his strength. He is smooth and he's polite. He doesn't really, I think a couple times he got a little upset, but I think it was more upset at the questions he was being forced to answer because he couldn't say, look, man, I'm not running this show.
Yeah.
I just try to bring him in sometimes. Like, you got to believe me. I feel like his notes were writing, like, Trump, how could you do this to me? I'm going to tell him one day, but he just won't. And so what he did was, which I kept laughing about when I was watching the debate, was he would be like, oh, thank you, Jane, so much for having at the USA. I mean, it's a prestigious paper, and I'm very proud of your accomplishments. And I'd just like to say to Kamala Harris, like, it's an honor to be on the stage with you tonight, and you making history, and I myself, your time's up, sir. Oh, no. I still want to go on. Like, he literally, and then he come back. I'd like to go back to the third question that was asked in the second segment. If I could just say, the president and myself are just really happy to be here tonight. And if you could just feel the love that the American people have, that we have for them. And we just believe in the American people, and God bless America. So, what was your question? Like, he literally was like, that was his entire,
like, thank
that
you.
Was his entire, yeah, it was like,
thank you. And
I'd like to thank the sound guy in the back.
Yeah. And then they're like, time's up.
Yep. The urinal chips were phenomenal. I thought I smelled a hint of lavender, which was well played, sir. Well played. I mean, just an amazing experience in the restroom tonight. Which goes back to my original point in the first question, which was, thank you so much for having me tonight. Me and my wife could not be happier to be here under these situations, under the beautiful state of Utah. For those of you who don't know, Utah was founded. And that's a sneak peek of what I'm going to be like on the Greg Gutfeld Show this week, which you can catch on
Saturday nights, 10 p.m., only on Fox News Channel.
I think I always watch the debates all the way through, and I really think you could have watched maybe, I'd say, the first segment of this debate, and I think you'd kind of get it, you know, and you didn't probably need to watch the whole thing, but because there was no NBA game on last night or a football game on, I really didn't have any other choice. But I don't think either one did anything to hurt their cause. I also think neither one did anything to move the needle. Yeah. I really think this is the one presidential election that everyone's mind's made up. I think everyone kind of knows where they're going. I don't think there's going to be like, what? Did he just say they're going to balance the budget? Well, that's a horse of a different color. I'm in. You know, I feel like, Kat, it's pretty much a wrap. I mean, the only people, I guess, is the undecideds with who's going to vote for Kanye West or not, which is a complete outrage because he's still a candidate, correct? He filed his paperwork, isn't he?
I have no idea. I must admit, I am not up on my Kanye West news.
I don't think he is.
Yeah, I don't know that he is either.
I don't think he is. I think he forgot. Like, hey, there was a lady running. Remember that video of the woman running to get the signatures in on time so he could run for president? There's like 5 minutes left or something like that. Yeah. Which irritates Devin because Devin, like, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're 10 minutes late. So, yeah, like, and Catherine can attest to that because Devin rules with an iron fist. But, of course, the fallout, and I flip around through all the channels, and some of the articles I bet were a little unfair to Pence. You know, they say he was bulldozed and this, that, whatever. I just feel like I don't know what they expected for Mike Pence. He will not, has never has, in all of this, ever spoken up or against President Trump.
Right.
Hence why he's still there.
Right.
Because if he would have contradicted the president, if he would have had a different, let's say, point of view on a subject, literally would be, sorry guys, I'd love to answer the question. I have a phone call. Yes, hello? Uh-huh. What? When? Right now. Okay. I've been fired. So Ivanka Trump's coming in to fill in. I guess she's going to take it from here. And it'll be the awkward exchange of mics between the two of them where we can hear the fuddling of him trying to take it off. And just hand me the earpiece. Like, if you could, I can do this. Just back up. Everyone just back up. I'd like to thank everyone so much for being here. Please stand by while I take off my mic and like him hold it together with class and dignity. But I just, and then of course the president went on a riff this morning. I don't know if you heard that bad boy, but he was I don't know. Is the steroids talking? Did you hear it, Kat? Did you get it?
I purposely, you know, I mean, I will. I will obviously check it out.
He was not happy. Not pleased. Not pleased at all.
Yeah, and I saw some headlines, but.
I think that's the same thing when, you can relate to this. When, I don't know if you did this when you were a kid, but like you would ask your friend to speak to somebody you liked for you, and yeah. They say the wrong thing, or they're not giving you enough information. Like, what'd he say? Did you ask him if he liked me? Well, I mean, it didn't really come up. What are you talking about? That's the one thing I sent you over there for. What do you mean it didn't come up? Well, we were just talking about classes and stuff. Oh, you were talking to him about your stuff? So yeah. You like it? You know, like, no, I don't like him. I'm just saying it was just, you just want me to bring it up? Yeah, go back there and tell him, you know, like, what the hell? Okay, fine. Yeah, go, hurry up. You know, and then they come back and like, well, yeah, he said you were cool. What? What is cool? It's cool. Like, did you pry? Did you detect? Did you ask more? No, you didn't. You just told me to ask him. Oh, my, I'll do it myself. Fine. You want me to go do it myself? You want me to go embarrass myself? No, I'll do it. Here's a list. I'm going to write you a list of questions that I want you to say and make sure you get them out. Like it felt like that was kind of like the relationship that Mike Pence is in with the president. Like, I think if he was feeling better, he would have done the VP debate himself. Like, I got it. I'm wrong.
Yeah. I mean, like, I just, we learned, I watched the whole thing and I'm like, oh, well, this changes nothing.
VP debates typically don't, historically. I mean, but these are the two most important VPs in the country because literally they're a sneeze away from becoming president. I mean,
yeah.
You know, Biden's age, Trump has COVID. No matter what he thinks right now, he still has it. And the long-term effects from COVID can be actually worse than COVID, having COVID, you know, the damage it does to you. So, I mean, that's something that is going to have to be under doctor's care and routine checkups. And I mean, he's going to have to change it up a little bit, you know, so where he's being checked on everything and which leads this thing, if something goes wrong, that question, and both of them really didn't answer it, about have they had the conversation with Biden and Trump about what happens if you lose you become senile or you just get too old or you get too sick. When do we call it? I guess we could have the same conversation on the like Greg Gutfeld show. Like, listen, when you become unhinged, when you lose your stuff, when you go off the deep end, Kat and I will take over the monologue.
Yeah.
We have it in two parts. Kat will have the first 5 minutes and then I'll wrap it up the last 5 minutes. I could literally see him going, oh, so you got this all planned out, do you? You got it all planned? You guys met and talked about this? So who else was in? Was Holly? Was Holly in this with you? I bet it was Tom. Was it Tom? Tom always had the issue. So I'm just supposed to just lay down and just let you guys just take over, huh? Is this because I didn't say with? Is this why you're pulling this? This isn't right. This isn't fair to me. Like this, there is no way to have that conversation with anyone about, hey, when you can't do your job anymore, I'm taking over.
I don't know. Sometimes I'll be like, I'll ask people like, hey, when you die, can I have that? And they get all weird, but I am literally just asking. So
you think that should have been the approach? Hey, if you die, can I be president? I mean, I'm already going to be president, but I would like your blessing.
For me, it's more like, when you die, can I have those shoes?
Yeah. You know, I'm saying, like, I actually had that conversation once in wrestling with my tag team partner. And we were a tag team, and Tons of Funk was the name of our tag team. And he was him and I liked him. I don't think he liked me that much. But I also knew that he didn't like me that much. So I knew that there would be no feelings involved in the decision. And so in the WWE, they ask kind of like, if something happens to you, you fill out, you know, emergency and one of the questions was, if you're, you know, on ventilator or assisted breathing or whatever, you know, do you have someone that can make the call, whether they pull the plug or whatever? And I elected him because I'm like, pull the plug. He was like, no problem. I will definitely pull that plug. He didn't hesitate. He didn't. Most people would have been offended by that. You know, if Kat was like, hey, if something happens to me, Tyrus, will you pull the plug? Absolutely. No problem. Yeah, I'll yank it right. I won't even let it plug it in. How about that? As soon as you go down, I'll sign the sheets. You're out of there. Like, no chance for recovery. I won't even let him do the thing. Like, no CPR, nothing. Once you're, you know, when you hear that, you're like, thanks? So I kind of feel like that would be the same thing.
So if you guys get sick, I can have this podcast.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Kat, do you see that? No, Devin.
Oh, it dies with us.
It goes with us. After us, there will be no more. Even, you know what? No, you know what? Just because you said that, Jason and Catherine will host the show.
Yeah.
And you will read stories, and neither one of them can respond, and you will film the entire episode. You will ask questions, and they're both muted. Jason, because he thinks it's some kind of cool, rebellious thing. Like, oh, I don't talk on radio. I'm above it. You know, like, I am Jason. My words are valuable. I don't waste them on the ears of civilians. You know, I wear a green tie and a green shirt because I'm money. Understand? You know, so speaking of money, I would like to buy a ticket to that zoo with the parrots who are cussing everybody out.
You won't want to miss what's next right after this.
The Will Kane Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Kane as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Gray parrots separated at zoo after too much swearing.
Yes.
A British zoo has had to separate 5 foul-mouthed parrots who keepers say were encouraging each other to swear. Billy, Eric, Tyson, Jade, and Elsie joined Lincolnshire Wildlife Center's colony of 200 gray parrots in August and soon revealed a penchant for blue language. Quote, we are quite used to parrots swearing, but we've never had 5 at the same time, said the zoo's chief executive, Steve Nichols. Most parrots clam up outside, but for some reason, these 5 relish it. Nichols said no visitors had complained about the parrots, and most found the situation funny.
Yeah, so, no one complained. Most people find it funny. It's so rare. You never get parrots swearing this much. It is a total anomaly, and then you're going to separate them?
Quote,
bad business.
When a parent tells you to F off, it amuses people very highly. He said, it's brought a big smile to a really hard year. Nichols said the parrots have been separated to save children's ears. They were moved to different areas of the park so they don't set each other off, he said.
Kids ruin everything. Also, what kid cannot handle hearing an F word? I heard plenty of swearing growing up, and look at me, I'm totally fine.
My kids cuss with a artistic suaveness to it, you know. They understand how to use it. They know the difference between an and a ah. They are they say it in the right moments. They know to whisper it when their mother's present. Like it's really an art form, the art of cussing. I think the parrots are speaking on behalf of the entire planet, which the entire planet in the year 2020 has basically told us all to go ourselves. I think it's pretty clear there's F-bombs being dropped by hurricanes, wildfires, viruses, epidemics, you name it, flooding, infestation, like literally the entire world is literally taking a big middle finger and shoving it all in our faces. So the parrots are just echoing what we already should know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that, and they blame just 5 out of the 200, just 5.
Also,
they're the only ones.
Like, adults aren't the only ones having a hard year. It's kids too. Like kids, yeah. A lot of them, like they can't go to school. They're at home. They can't play with their friends. And we're concerned they might hear an F word from a bird.
Yeah. Five birds. I mean, it's still funny though. I mean,
I just can't believe they're separated. It just upsets me.
So now they're yelling it even louder at each other.
They should.
From across the room.
I want to add the parrots to my team. At first I wanted the wombats, but I want the parrots. I want the cussing, the meow parrots, the meow word parrots.
Yeah. You know, zoos are the only place where animals can get away with that stuff. You know, it's like monkeys throw crap at you when they laugh and point, oh, the monkey's so cute. It threw stuff at me. It's just like people. Where in any other walk of life, somebody throws meow at you, you're not pleased about it. You know, can't and speaking that of that, and speaking of that, is our red hot story of the week.
Police search for a man who pooped in a box.
I know him.
Police in Michigan are searching for a man who defecated into an empty box at Meijer, which is a local grocery store. It happened shortly before 3:50 p.m. on October 1st at the Meijer on Belleville Road. Police say the man opened the box, defecated in it, put it back on the shelf, and then stole an item before leaving the store. He was
that item red wine, perhaps?
Yeah. Was it red wine?
It doesn't say in the story.
Was the man short? Was he very short, man? Maybe like spiky hair.
Hey, Kat, didn't he just have a book signing close to that neighborhood?
Yeah, maybe.
I think, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who was driving the getaway car? Was it a Tom Shalhoub-esque looking individual?
Yeah.
Well, he was last seen leaving the parking lot in a light-colored Ford Escape.
That's about his height.
Any information, contact Detective Harrison of the Van Buren Police.
We got to make a call.
Yeah, we got to make a call.
Poop Elf is taking his role in the upcoming Christmas hit, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the prequel.
Yeah.
He's bringing Poop Elf antics into his real life.
Yeah, he's trying to get his own reality show. Yeah, he's literally, Duffield will stop. He is riding the coattails of the success of the Greg Gutfeld show with Tyrus and Tim, who are the backbone of that. We are the major artery. You know, you can't walk without Tyrus and Tim from the Greg Gutfeld show. So, and he is capitalizing on that popularity, being number one show in cable news TV, by getting book signing events around the country where after the book signing at approximately 3:55 p.m., he will go into a store and leave his calling card and then leave the town in a perfect crime with leaving them baffled, trying to figure out who is in a box and leaving it. And the only thing they know is that he likes a certain kind of red wine. Like, I don't think we need to even involve the other detectives in our investigation. I think we are an independent counsel. Yeah, we're independent counsel, and we will just stick with the facts, and we will not let his popularity, because that's the thing. The detectives go to question him and they start, you know, he gives them these really long monologue answers, you know. And then he offers him to be a guest on the Greg Gutfeld show. So, I mean, you can't interview the guy. He's so arrogant. He has a new forum that you can just talk to him now. It's the gutter.
I have one too, though.
But
I didn't know that. Am I the only one who doesn't have one?
What?
I'm the only one who doesn't have a gutter.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of
He's literally advertising it like crazy.
I know. I've never gotten to advertise mine.
Well, you know.
I'm just a guest.
We're taping tomorrow. I'll just throw it out there. People that get this arrogant when they commit crimes, we've always talked about this in Tires and Temp. While we do not condone.
Do not.
While we do not condone committing crimes. Or murders or kidnappings or anything like that. If you are going to, all that we ask is that you have an exit strategy and you do not shamelessly leave DNA all over the place.
Right. Because, you know, I don't, you know, from what I know about poop is there is DNA in it.
Oh, yeah. A lot of it.
So, yeah. So you, if you poop in a box and you leave the crime scene, you haven't really left the crime scene.
No, you might as well. You might as well sign your name on it.
Right.
With your address and date of birth, because they're going to get all that information.
Assuming your DNA is in the system, which I'm thinking if you're someone pooping in boxes just for, I mean, meow. And giggles is almost too on the nose, yeah. but exactly. You probably, you're someone who law enforcement might know you, you know?
Yeah, it's not your first dance. He's graduated. Yeah. He started out real small. I think as a child, he was pooping in bags and lighting them on fire outside of the old Smitherson's house, you know, getting laughs. And he stomps it out and goes, damn you kids, fire. You know, he's obviously graduated to the point like this.
Yeah, you
this
don't
start also there. Could be our yeah, no, he graduated and now he's getting confident. He's getting he's moving, he's growing. You know, if Silence of the Lambs was a movie right now about just pooping and not serial killing, this is where Anthony Hopkins would tell you that he goes after what he covets. So, and what does he covet? He covets poop in a box. So he's now making his own. If someone gets murdered, stopping him from
meow.
In a box, it's incidental. He's really that dirty little butterfly that just wants to leave a box of poop in everybody's house.
Yeah.
Hence the name. Originally, we were going to go with Buffalo Bill, but we didn't feel it was accurate. Poop elf seems to be
the accurate term. Yeah.
But the FBI won't return our calls because they don't feel it's an
We already know what he gives for Secret Santa, okay? Yeah. He was just doing an early Secret Santa gift.
He literally ruined a person's life who was already struggling with the fact that he had a green skin tone, didn't know who his parents were, finally gets a job, makes some friends, and Gutfield's leaving boxes of gift wrap poop on his desk. Not once.
But 2 years in a row. First it was just poop. Second time
twice.
It was wrapped up. And you think it's going to be not poop, but boom! More poop.
Yeah. This guy's a menace. And he's not done until somebody stops him.
Yeah.
And hopefully soon. Preferably not on Saturday nights, though, between 10 p.m. Eastern, you know, on Fox News. Any other time before that, bust him, you know. But, wow. I just, he's got it all. You would think that would be enough for him.
Canada's most sexually provocative onions were pulled down from Facebook after the social media giant told a produce company that its images went against advertising guidelines. Now, Facebook has admitted the ad was picked up by an errant algorithm and will be restored. The offending ad for Gay's Seed Company's Walla Walla Onion Seeds shows an image of a handful of onions in a wicker basket. According to a Facebook notice sent to the company in recent days, the onions were positioned in a, quote, sexually suggestive manner. Quote, I guess something about the two round shapes there could be misconstrued as boobs or something, nude in some
or
way.
Something.
Jackson McLean, a manager at Gay's Seed Company, told CBC. Gay's is a St. John's business that sells seeds, soil, and other supplies. The business pays Facebook for advertising and was preparing to put out its spring advertisements for onions when the image was pulled. Ironically, the error made for better publicity than the actual right. ad could ever have. On its Facebook page, the seed company had fun creating mock-ups of what Facebook thought it was seeing.
Yeah, they probably did the sex. I mean, if they would have done the sexy onions on purpose, that's just a brilliant move.
Yeah, but I'm just not connecting the dots here on that one. I got to be honest, probably the most unsexual vegetable in the world is probably an onion. The closest thing it could possibly be compared to would be the lower end of a really old man's reproductive organs. I guess I could put it that way. Nobody.
Nary a person.
Nobody, nary a time has someone said, I want your onion. I don't think that's ever, I'm pretty sure even the onion bloom,
the Bloomin' Onion at Outback Steakhouse. Yeah.
Outback Steakhouse, again, was never used in the sentence, I'm going to run through you like a bloomin' onion. I don't think it's really going on. I don't think anyone's come home from work with onion peels on the floor in a trail to the bedroom where the wife is waiting for me with a onion in her mouth. I don't think that's going to lead to a memorable fantasy other than, what is wrong with you? Why are you eating an onion? That's disgusting. And the only time I can remember having to eat an onion was because I dropped a bunch of F-bombs outside, and my mother heard me and her friend heard me, and the babysitter made me eat an onion from my foul mouth. I got to tell you, three chews in, it just kept getting worse.
Did you throw up?
No, what I did was I just said no more. I'll take a whooping. But I'm not proud of this, and this is the first time I've ever admitted this ever. And there's a young – well, she's still young. A young woman out there somewhere that I owe an apology to, because as a child, after my first experience with the onion, I was never going to go down that road again. And I might have been cussing in the backyard a week or so later. And when the babysitter, Eileen was her name. Now I remember her name was Sasheen, because I used to go, Sasheen, the washing machine. You're always trying to make your clothes clean. Sasheen was laughing when I said the F word. And the babysitter, who said that? Who said the F word? And I said, she did.
Ooh. And
Sasheen had to eat the onion, and I had to sit and watch her eat it. And she was like crying the whole time. And I can still remember seeing her like teeth biting an apple, in the onion. And it was so bad she couldn't close her mouth when she was eating it. And like, understand, like, she is crying. One, because she's been wrong.
Yeah.
Two, I've betrayed our friendship.
I cry when I'm anywhere near an onion.
It's like you're just running and you're crying and you have to eat an onion, or you get a whooping with this wooden spoon. And at one point I literally thought, like, now I think about it, it was like a scene from Braveheart where I know I'm guilty of Sid looking at her going, just ask for the whooping and you'll hurt no more. Just do it. Just let it go. You know? And she just kept eating it, at one point staring at me the whole time. Our hopscotch games were never the same after that.
Like, she had to eat the whole onion?
She ate about half of it before she got it taken away.
We should find out if she hates onions now.
Yeah,
probably hates me, and probably has blacked it out from her memory, going, the little bastard that got me in trouble. Not proud of that, but when I thought this onion story, it just popped in my head in like a flashback, a buried memory of
repressed.
Just a real, real dick move on my part, you know, like just cold blooded. She didn't do anything to deserve it. Sorry. Just sorry. So what have we learned today?
I learned wombats got cute poops.
Yes, we learned about wombats. And I'm going to add the wombat to my team for no other reason than to protect them from the sickos who have heard this story. So you got parrots. I've got wombats. We've also learned that Greg Gutfeld is never satisfied, and it's still raining terror as
the poop
crap in people's boxes all across the country.
Coming early.
Yep. For more podcasts like this, why don't I even say that? Yeah. You can check us out at Fox News Podcast.
For more podcasts that are also podcasts.
Yes, for podcasts within a podcast. Not that Dana Perino and what's his name stuff. Real journalism.
I think and, that they're targeting wombat poop this week too. So
oh, sure they are, but they will not have the stories that we had, the investigative reporting that was done, and just the general presentation to where we literally made a story like an ice cream sundae. We just added all the whipped cream and nuts and chocolate to it, and so you know it's still crap, but it looked better. It definitely looked better. And that's the difference with the Tyrus and Tim podcast. We make look better.
Mm-hmm.
Enough said.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.